This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Last week, we talked about hadith Jubair ibn Mut'im radiyallahu anhu, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who cut the ties with their kinship will not enter paradise. And cut the ties, and then Sufyan explained that by saying, cut the tie with the kinship. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we talked about what that means and how this can be fulfilled. And we mentioned several points. I will go over them very quickly. That we said, I said last week, that how to fulfill that right or duty of your kinship. This is can be different from one relative to another. So your duty towards your parents, your uncles, is not the same as your cousins and nephews. There is more rights and there is more way to connect to your uncles and your uncles from your mother's side or father's side and aunts. Those deserve more than just phone call or dropping a message every Eid. Verse deserve your financial support if they're in need, you know, sickness, taking care of them. Versus a distant cousin, okay, that you might go away, or culturally acceptable if you just call them once in every Eid or something like that, or a phone call or a message, or, you know, visiting them from here to sometimes when you go and you travel to where they at. And he said, this is taken consideration. Also, our modern days today have basically give us other way of being connected with people, and they feel that they are connected to us, but not necessarily to be through, you know, a visitation or traveling to them. Today, even, you know, a phone call or FaceTime or meeting someone, even your parents, sometimes that can be sufficient if they are happy with that. So it all depends on whatever it takes to keep that connection between you and your relatives. And we said these are some steps, some practical tips. Number one, it's important for you and your children to know your kinship, your relatives, and from your mother's side and father's side. You know, and I said last week, unfortunately, some kids even don't know their grandparents, what their names are. Okay, so to know who they are and to know their names, and one of the suggestions I give, maybe make a family tree as a project between you or your kids so they know who their relatives are. We said, hey, make a diary of their names and phone numbers and, you know, or WhatsApp group between you and the family member. Maybe there is like a newsletter or something like every Eid or every year it's shared by everyone. So people would know what's the newest things happened to that person. He graduated, he got children, he got married. So the whole family stay connected, calling them, messaging them, making dua for them, visiting them. If they are in hardship, that you offer your support. If they are sick, to visit them, to offer them financial help if they are in trouble or in need. Or they need advice and you can advise them or provide for them the appropriate advice by expert. If they die, you will be there to witness their funeral or make Salat al-Janazah on them. And even if you miss Salat al-Janazah, you still can pray funeral on them after they are buried. This is part of their rights upon you as relatives and as Muslims. Congratulating them in happy occasions, marriage, graduation, Eid, new children, new Ramadan, Hajj, buying a new house, starting a new business, you know. Also supporting them financially as much as you can, especially the poor and the needy and the one who in debt among them. And also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, As-sadaqatu ala al-miskeen sadaqa wa ala dhil qurbati thnatan sila wa sadaqa. When you give charity to a person, that's charity. But you give a charity to someone who's related to you, that's double. It's a charity and silat rahim, and being connected to your kinship. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered this one of the best form of charity. Afdalu sadaqa ala dhil rahim al-kashih. The best form of charity is to give to someone who's related to you, and that person is kashih. Kashih, we said, even if that person hates you, even if that person not good to you, but you're still giving them because you do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of being connected with your family, an-nush, giving the advice, giving an amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. If you see one of them, don't pray, you advise them. Don't fast, drink alcohol, use drugs. You know, cousins or nephew or some of that, something bad you see in their life, you know, there is marriage problem, you go give them an advice. And if they abuse, you stop their abuse. Let's say somebody abusing his children, abusing his wife, abusing her husband, you stop from them from doing that. They have the rights of like any other Muslim, which is the rights of giving salam, visiting in the sickness, following their janazah, answering their call, and saying alhamdulillah, irhamukallah, when they sneeze, and other things as well. Today, I would like to speak more about what are the reasons, the common reason that we see in society that lead to cutting ties with relatives. What is the main reasons for people to cut ties and stop, being connected with their relatives? Anybody can give me, let's see what you guys have. Sisters, by the way, if you guys want to come inside the masjid, this side of the masjid is empty. So what do you guys think? What will be, in your opinion, you've seen the main reason for relatives not to talk to each other, cutting tie with each other?
Money.
Businesses and, financial disagreement. That's very true. Also related to money is inheritance. I found this is a very common reason for family to cut ties, that fight over inheritance, especially women. I know a case that I was involved in. Yeah, it will be this side. Yeah. So I know a case where the brother went to get his inheritance, after his father passed away, and he inherited a property, and this property is his. Let's say he has an apartment. He found out that his brothers sold the apartment, took over his inheritance, and they did it, especially if she's a woman, a sister. And unfortunately, in some culture, they said, I'm not going to let my father's money go to a stranger. Who's a stranger? Her husband. So they will not give her inheritance. That's a very common thing in the culture that I'm familiar with, in Arab culture, for example. In many Arab countries, they will, if it's sister, she will not, in many cases, especially among Arab people, she will not get her inheritance. And they will misuse it. So that's another fight over the inheritance will be a big problem. What else? So money and manifested in different ways. What else? Why people cut ties with their relatives other than money? Social status. What that means? What do you mean by that? Yeah, so basically when there is a big difference in social status, somebody is very rich, somebody poor. So the rich became arrogant, and arrogance is the reason. He's so arrogant to be seen with his poor cousin, wallah, poor brother, wallah. I'm a very successful businessman. I don't want to be associated with my father. I remember a case of a homeless guy. His own son was a very successful, powerful businessman. And he said, I don't want to be messes with my father who's homeless. It's sad. And that, by the way, I'm talking about our community. I'm not talking about like somebody lives in the Green Moon. Somebody lives in Houston. I will not associate myself with my cousin. My brother is just a loser. I don't want to be seen around him. I'll tell you something. I see this because this has to be taught from the beginning. A young man like Yusuf, for example, he's in high school, he's a senior in high school, you know. He don't want to be seen with his little brother. He feels shame to be around his brother or sister. And that's a common in college, they grow up a little over that phase. So we cut tie. You know, brothers fighting inside the house, they don't talk to each other. Sisters. We need to make sure that this message heard by, you can't, there's no, nothing in the world should stop you from talking to your brother or to be mean to your brother. That's haram. This is a very serious sin. That's not just a joke. That's a serious sin. This is as bad as, you know, doing the lying and doing the drugs or doing this. This is as bad if it's not worse than that. And people have to understand, one of the reasons why people cut relationship with each other, because they don't know how dangerous and how evil it is to cut tie with relatives and family members. People think it's like not a big deal. Also, one of the reasons for people to cut ties with relatives, what else? Marriage. What do you mean? So I'm jealous, you know, when I marry this woman, he married her. Can you imagine? I had once a case, somebody came to me and he said, Sheikh, I said, yeah. He said, I want to tell you about something. I need your help. I said, sure. And he took me to the side and we talked. And he said, Sheikh, my brother. I said, what about him? He has 3 kids. His wife, she's just an amazing woman. Been there with him for the last 12 years, okay? And, or eight, whatever number of years. And she's this and that. I'm like, mashallah, right? I said, okay, is there anything I can help? Like, he said, he's gay. And he just want to go open, and he said, I'm going to be open gay. I can't live like that anymore. And now we tried, and I said, okay, so do you mean to talk to him? He said, no, that's not the problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, because he has 3 kids, and then he's like, she's divorcing him. I'm thinking about marrying her. He said, my brother is not the problem. The issue is not my brother. The issue is I want to marry her. I was like, what's going on in the world? Is this the issue now? It just drives me crazy when I see stuff like that. I said to him, if you marry your brother's ex, how do you think your relationship with your brother will be? Like, how would you talk to each other? He sees you with his wife and his kids, like, uncle, oh, father, a step-uncle, whatever that's going to be. You know? It's like the whole wire is, like, mixed up. That's basically, I said, if you do that, you're taking a step that to cut your brothers off. So I'll give you another one. Also in Houston, somebody, Tommy, he was proposing to a girl. Anyway, he didn't like the girl. Then he ended up, you know, breaking up with the girl. He did not marry her. It just engaged him. Then he married her mother. And I just want to understand how her and her mother would ever. Can you imagine she engaged this guy for a year and now, oh, you know, he is like with her mother. So, yes, I agree. Marriage can be a problem, you know, and there is manifestation of this, maybe this more severe manifestation of it, but it does exist. Also, sometimes husband and wife, when you marry someone and that one actually force you to cut ties with relatives. You know, like for example, in some culture, when you marry a woman, your first priority is to make sure to cut her off from her family. Why? Because some culture said, if she's still connected to her family, will cause you trouble. So what do you do? No talk, no visitation, nothing. He will spend whatever money he wants on his mom. But if his wife talked to her mom, oh my God, he will start counting the minutes. So you will cut off her from, that's what, because of the marriage, she's not anymore connected to her family. I know many cases, not one, not two, not three, not four, and not in other communities. Here and other communities as well, where I see sisters come crying to me, said, Sheikh, I have to make a choice between my father and my husband, my kids and my husband, my kids and my dad, either my kids or my father. That's ridiculous. That's one of the reasons for cutting ties. Force. How many brothers, their wives turned them against their parents, turn him away from his mother, keep feeding him against his sisters, and so forth. So one of marriage can be a real issue here in causing trouble and cut ties between family members. May Allah protect us. What else? Jealousy. Absolutely. He's so jealous because he's successful. He's so jealous because his wife is, you know, more educated or more friendly or more beautiful. So jealous because he made so much money. So jealous because my father loves him more. That's my problem. That's my father, not me. What should I do? You know, he's jealous because what? So these are, you know, real reason for people to cut ties with each other and reduce the relationship with each other. And that's haram. What else? Political differences. Very good. Unfortunately, today, you know, she's pro-Trump and he's like anti-Trump. Okay, or he is like pro this and anti that. I love American way. No, at the table dinner, don't bring politics or religion. I mean by religion, don't debate any fiqh issues and aqidah issues. Give advice, but just don't, no debate all over dinner. Let's, especially Thanksgiving coming. Okay, so no need for it to be a political debate. That's very true. So here what I'm saying is basically also political differences can be a reason for people, unfortunately today, to cut ties. Sometimes not even political differences. Sometimes sports, you know, they cut each other off over sports. Can you believe that? Yes. And that, again, because they don't value, didn't see how important the issue of being connected with your relatives. Anybody else? Yeah, you inherit a rivalry between cousins, for example. My dad hates his brother. So you know what? The cousins start hating each other as well, and so forth. You know, my dad can't stand my father, my mother's father. They're in-laws thing. So I inherit that, so I don't like her family side. So I inherit all this. Very good. Excellent. religious? Fundamentalism. What do you mean by that? Yeah. Sometimes people are very extreme, very rigid, you know, very good. You need very close to this point that I have, which is has to do with the religion and other area, which is some family members just too nosy. They like to basically force their opinion, religious opinions, religious positions, political opinions or positions, whatever, over others. And sometimes also they like, sometimes you cut people off because they are too nosy. How much you make? Wow. What's your husband's salary? What do you do? Khalas, why not pregnant? Excuse me? You became my doctor now? You know? Like some people act as your doctor, your shrink, your like your counselor, and your lawyer too, and your CPA. You know, they want to know everything about your life, even relatives. So you start cutting them off. So being nosy lead people to stay away from each other. Also, stinginess. Stinginess lead to cutting ties with people. Because I don't like to be around someone so stingy. Bakhil, miser. Also, businesses, as we said earlier. One other thing also, some people like to reprimand you a lot, to make you feel bad. Every time you see this uncle, he keeps saying, where are you? I haven't seen you. Khalas, this has happened like ages ago. You did this, and you did this, and your father did this. And every time, the same story again and again and again, try blame you, try to bring the old stories, what happened in the past, why this happened, why we don't see you, why you do this, why you do this, why you do that. Khalas, I can't take this anymore. So this is another problem that I see between relatives happen a lot. And some people, every time you go to them, why didn't you do this? Oh my God. Like one of the things, just, I'm going to give it, even it's not directly related, but one of the things that's interesting. Some people just like to criticize everything you do. And I'll tell you a rule about criticism. Even if it is something constructive, if it's constructive, it's a valid point. But there is no benefit from it, don't say it. Okay? So, for example, you know, Abu Ala went and he bought a car. Khalas, he signed the deal. He got a Lexus. He got a Lexus. And mashallah, he signed the deal with the dealer. He put the down payment. Khalas, there's no way he can change the car. He's stuck for the next 5 years making these payments. Then I come and I said, mashallah, did you buy it? He said, yeah, what did you buy, Lexus? Come on, man. Why in the world would you buy Lexus? Who in the world want to ride a car has a loser sign on it? Okay? So, you know what? With the same amount of money, I could have get you a 20%, 30% less. I could have get you, you know, a Camry, or can I get you like this? Or, you know, there's Mercedes even. And I make him feel so bad about his choice. Even if I have a point. But there's no benefit of this. You're just making him feel bad. Khalas, I bought the pants. You know what? I saw it in that store, $20 less. Why would you say that? He cannot. He wear it. He cannot return it back. You just make him feel bad. You just zip it. Don't say anything. We have to learn, because if you always say this, you make people feel bad. People don't like to be around somebody who makes them feel bad. Arrogance. People don't like to be arrogant. And as I said, ignorance is another reason why people don't care. I don't know that I'm obligated to be connected to my cousins. I don't know. I don't know that it's important to know my nephews and my cousins. I don't know that I have to talk to my uncles. You know, I just simply, I don't know. And that's one of the reasons that people don't connect with their relatives. Al-ulama rahimahullah ta'ala said, the people, when it comes to the relationship with their family members are different categories. The first category, the one that who try to reach out to those who cut them off and those who are bad to them. Yani you are good to them, but they are bad to you. And the best example is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never held back from reaching out to his uncles. Even Abu Lahab was very bad and mean to him. His relatives from Quraysh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he entered Mecca, he said, what do you think I will do to you? They said, you are our brother, our cousin. You will not do anything bad to us. We know that. He said, yes, you are free. After all these series of animosity. See? So, you be good to those who are bad to you. Mistah, he said bad things about Aisha. And guess what? Who support Mistah financially? Abu Bakr, Aisha's father. Did he stop the financial support? No. وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولِي الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَيُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْيَعْفُوا وَالْيَصْفَحُوا. Don't hold back from helping and supporting your relatives and the faqir, the poor and the needy. If you have wealth, forgive and let go. Don't you want Allah to forgive you and let your sins go? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That's why Abu Bakr, when he heard the verse, he said, I will continue, because he thought about stopping the financial support to Muslim. I said, I will continue support him because I want Allah to forgive me. So this is the first category. The second one, so you connect with those who are harming you. The second, that you connect with those who don't harm you, but they don't care about being connected to you. You didn't see any harm from them, but you know what? They don't care for you, but you care for them. And the Nabi said, the real wasil, the one who really connect to his family and fulfill the meaning of being connected to kinship, is not the one who reach out to those who are reaching out to him. No, he's the one who reach out to people who don't care about him, who don't reach out to him. Number three, that you are connected with those who are connected with you. My cousin called me and I called him back. Me and my brother, we good term. So that's the third level. Make the opposite is the different type of qati'at al-rahim. Yani, obviously, the worst type of qati'at al-rahim is to cut off those who are good to you. Somebody is trying good to be good to you and you cut them off. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said, لا يدخل الجنة, will not enter Jannah, it doesn't mean that they are kuffar. It means they will not enter Jannah right away. They will not enter Jannah until they are punished, until they are questioned, until they are, they will be delayed. They will be, there will not enter Jannah in a high level. So could all these, but it doesn't mean that they are not going to enter Jannah at all. No, they will eventually do, because cutting ties with the relative is not kufr. The only thing take the person or will prevent the person from entering Jannah at all is the kufr, ash-shirk. Next hadith. عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه عن الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله حرم عليكم عقوق الأمهات ووأد البنات ومنع وهات وكره لكم قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال. متفق عليه. المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah has made it forbidden for you, or Allah made it prohibited for you to be disrespectful, showing undutiful behavior to your mothers, to bury daughters alive, to refuse others their dues, and to demand things from others which are not worth demanding. And he hates that you engage in gossip, asking many questions about people's affairs and wasting wealth. This hadith reported by al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Al-Bukhari in the chapter Uquq al-Walidain and Imam Muslim. Allah forbade, mana. He asking you not to do these things. Al-uquq, يعني being disrespectful, undutiful, being not fulfilling the rights of your mother. حقوق الأمهات. طيب. العق in Arabic language, it means a shaq, which is when you tear something. So عق شق in Arabic language. العق, it means you tear something. So imagine we as a family, and we're like this. العقوق is to tear it, basically to break that tie, to harm. So العقوق is a very, very, very general word, which it include anything that is not appropriate, anything which is not good that you do to your parents or to your mother or to your relatives. الأمهات, okay? Anybody knows al-ummahat is a plural, the single word, the single is ammah. I don't know if you ever heard that word. It's not ummahat comes from the word ammah. There's a difference between ammah and al-ummahat, different than comes from ammaha, which it means only referring to a mother who is a beings. So can be referred to animals. She's the mother of the cow, the mother camel. Okay? But you cannot say this ummaha to the cow's mother, to animals. You only use it for human beings. Interesting. The Arabs have a very interesting language. Wa'ada, okay, kawa'ada, which it means you bury her alive. And they used to bury their daughters alive because this is a common practice, or not a common, it was a practice in the Arab culture at that time. Question, does this apply to burying a boy alive? Yes, but he mentioned girls, daughters, because that's a common thing at that time. It's not a common that they will kill or they will bury their boys. SubhanAllah, I never thought that we will ever see in humanity this concept again. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with all the debates about abortion. There is recently people calling for abortion, and that's the very, very far, far leftist, socialist type of ideas. They say that the child, when it's right after its birth, it should be the mother's right to decide if that live or not. So abortion even after the birth. And people start arguing that. And it should be the woman and the mother called to decide if that live or not. Yani, one of the shocking thing was when we heard that even before delivery, even week or two or before delivery, they said the mother has the right to terminate the pregnancy. Doesn't matter how old the baby is. That's crazy. That's like killing your babies alive, especially in that low term. Anyway, we'll talk more about this and another manifestation for it today. But man'an, basically, المنع هو القطع. منع means prevent. يعني you don't give people what they deserve. وهات comes from هاتي. يعني أعطني, give me. So you don't give people what they deserve, but you demand your full rights. You demand from people everything. And Allah said hates, and hates, it means forbid. When you see Allah hates something, it means something forbidden. That's why Allah said in the Quran, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ سَيُّهُ كَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. Allah hates all these things because it's haram. And قِيلًا وَقَالَ قِيلًا وَقَالَ وَقَالًا. And also it was reported قِيلًا وَقَالَ قَالَ with no tanween. Also reported in Bukhari قِيلًا وَقَالًا. And Arabic language, both is correct. What قِيلًا وَقَالَ قِيلًا وَقَالَ, it means that you don't talk too much. Okay? Also it could mean you don't talk too much when you initiate the talk, and you don't talk too much when somebody asks you. Oh my God, there are some people need this hadith. You just talk about something. You want a quick answer. He give you his life story. And you're not his counselor. Nabi Sallallahu said, just talk too much for no benefit, for no reason, for no benefit at all. Also, it could mean they talk too much because they keep telling what people say. They like to tell, do you know what happened? Do you know what this? Do you know what that? And it just became like a live Facebook telling you about everybody's life and everybody's what is doing in their life. So that's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, when people talk too much, either about other people, about things that's not beneficial. And that lead to next one, which is wasting time. And also wasting money, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to see you wasting your money. We only speak for 45 minutes of the class, but I will just mention in 5 minutes, then we will call it for the night. What do we learn from this hadith? Number one, being bad or disrespectful or not fulfilling your duty towards your parents is haram. So why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned mother in particular in this hadith? He didn't say parents, he said mother. And Nawawi rahimahullah said, because, reason. He said because boys and children intend to cross the line with mother more than father, because she's soft, she's weaker. You know, the father, he will be worried that he will, if you became disrespectful, he knows how to straighten you up. But mother, people kind of cross the line because they don't have fear. So that's why it became more severe. And Allah and Nabi specifically mentioned, not because she's mother, or also it because mother forgive quickly. So I know she's going to forgive me, so I keep, crossing the line one time after another. Because I know in the end of the day, she will never have anything in her heart on me. But that doesn't give you the permission to cross the line. It doesn't give you the permission to keep doing the wrong things toward your mom. Also, from this hadith we learn, since the mother, there is more rewards in treating her extra good or good, there is more sin in treating her bad. As if she has a, because her status is so high. So that's why the reward is so high and the sin is so high at the same time. You should be very careful how you address your mom, how you talk to your mother, and any form of disrespect. And it's amazing how Salaf rahimahullah used to be. For example, Nu'man ibn al-Haritha or Uthman radiallahu anhu, when they talk about their mother, it's amazing. They said he will not eat with her until she finished. Like he will be there and he will, if there is like one plate has, food in it, he will wait until she takes whatever she wants. He said, why? He said, because I'm worried that I will pick something from the plate that she was looking at and desiring. And I don't know. So I'll make sure that she take the food that she likes. Ibn Sirin, when he speaks to his mom, they said he used to speak to her like the way they speak the king. It's amazing how they used to address and to talk to the mother in a very high respectful manner. One of the scholars was giving a class, and when his mother, Ibn al-Qasim, when his mother passed by, he stood up. He was teaching. They said, "Why did you stand up?" He said, "I saw my mother standing in the back, and I felt disrespect that I am sitting and my mother is standing. I'm not going to let this happen." He stood up until she moved. Today, your mother comes and leaves, and no care, nobody cares. And by the way, not because your mom is friendly, it means that she loses the respect that she deserves. Not because your mom is easygoing, it means that, you know, I don't care. Not because mom comes from a culture that they don't have that kind of, especially if your mom is a convert or new Muslim or she comes from a different culture, that this concept is not very, you know, big in her culture. It doesn't mean that you don't do the effort to make sure that your mom taking the respect that she deserves. Al-uquq is any form of disrespect, any form of harm, okay, is not allowed. Any form of disobedience, in shara' or in urf, yani sharia recognizes this as something bad in Islam, or culturally it's considered something bad. That's why Qatada said, doing like this with your hand, staring at her face, that's not allowed. That's a sin. Making them cry. طيب. What about if you disobey her and you stand against her will because she ordered you to do something wrong? You know what? Your mom forcing you to marry someone that you don't want to marry. She insisting on you to marry this lady, and I'm not going to marry this woman. I can't stand this lady. This is not my wife. You need to marry this woman. No, I can say no. That's not considered uquq. Being respectful, I'm not going to do that. Because it's not part of her right to force me to marry someone that I don't want to be married to. Because that's, I'm going to harm this woman I'm going to be married to. What if she asks you to divorce your wife? And my wife is a good woman. I said, no, I'm not going to divorce my wife. And I will do nothing but respect and love for you. What if she asks you to cut relationship with your brother? I'm not going to do that. What if she asks you to be bad to your father? Or vice versa, your father cut your mom? Especially in case of divorce, no. Okay? So here, also, what about if you have, is it considered uquq if you ask for financial rights? Let's say Aqib, his father, ask him, Waleed, okay, your father said to you, you know what? I want you to do me this work. Let's say Waleed is, mashallah, he is very good in painting. Okay, so his father hired him to paint this wall for $500. After he did the job, he said, I'm not going to pay you anything. Can he go to the court and ask for this money? He inherited the money. His father said, I'm not going to give you the money that you inherited. He blocked that. His financial rights. Okay? Can he ask for it? Some ulama said yes. And the Al-Bulqini said that, and he said, because there is a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, in Abi Ijtaha Mali, my father took my money. And I want you to, I want, like, this is, what is this? Is this sin or what? He took from my money. Then Nabi ﷺ said, you and what you possess belong to your father. You're not gonna sue him in the court. But Al-Bulqini said, Al-Nabi did not consider that question from the person, uquq. And I disagree with that. I think if your father, let's say, didn't give you right, I think you should be, you should ask, may Allah forgive him. I think that's part of, you know, that's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you just pull back. I would not ever support the idea that you go sue him or go to the court. I will say that's not correct. But you can respectfully deny making business with your father if you know he's not the kind of person who's going to pay you. You know, respectfully you say do that. Or you don't do it for money. But some of the ulama, rahimahumullah, Sana'ani and others said it's not uquq if you go to the judge and you ask for settlement. طيب. The hadith also is forbidding you from not fulfilling the rights of people. Because the hadith said, mana, you don't give people what they deserve, their dues. It's not right. If the time comes to pay my debt back, you should give him. I should not chase you. That's haram, based on this hadith. My rights to be giving my mahar, I don't need to chase you. I'm an employee. I need to be paid. I don't need to chase you for that. You should not prevent people from their dues, from their rights. You know, you made a promise to your wife. You made a promise to your husband, to your children. Not giving them their dues is haram. Mana. So, also sometimes, okay, your wife, for example, every month she gets this amount of money from you. And you start like making it like, you know, she's begging for it. That's not right. If that's her right, she should be fulfilled. But if you prevent, something is not obligations on you. Somebody asked you for help, and I didn't give them charity. That's not sin. Because I'm not obligated to give you charity. But if my father or my wife or my kids need the money, that's the right, and I have it, I should give. Anyway, we will stop here because there is more to talk, and there is more real examples in life I would like to share, inshallah, next week about this hadith. And also, I will talk a little bit about wa'dul banat, burying the daughters. They used to bury their daughters alive. And how today in China and India, there is some practices, you know, used to be done much better, especially in China these days. But there is similar ideas. When they have a girl, they just get rid of the girl immediately. And some of them will kill it, you know, a'udhu billah, because they don't want to have a girl. Especially when they had the one-child policy. There is also something similar to that in India as well. And this hadith shows making specifically that the dhulm to daughters is a bad thing. And some people will make extra effort to be extra nice to their sons, but not to their daughters. And that's just wrong. We'll talk about empty talks and talks that's not beneficial, and you know, related to other people's stories. And we'll talk about wasting money and how today's money is wasted. What are the areas that we see people waste their money the most? So there's a lot of interesting points we'll be covering, inshallah, next week. Hopefully, inshallah, we'll be able to cover it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anybody had a question or a comment, you're more than welcome before we call for the day, for the night. Okay. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.